Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
The Warriors got the win on Saturday against the Pelicans. Kevon Looney came back to town, and the Warriors got a much-needed win after falling to the Rockets the previous game on Wednesday. And now we go out to the River Islands guest line for Steve Kerr, presented by Great Clips in Sports. Success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Steve, great to have you on Willard and Dibs. No Mark Willard, it's Dibs and Grandy with you. First of all, hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for coming on. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. And I like the Arsenal sweatshirt. You're enjoying yourself these days, aren't you?
I am. Appreciate that. And thanks for noticing. I know you've had a connection and ties to Liverpool. Is that correct?
Yeah, I actually have a connection with Arsenal as well. Oh. So I've become a big Premier League fan the last few years. And but Mikel Arteta has become a friend of mine. We do kind of a coaching thing together on Zoom where we, you know, share ideas and thoughts. And he's an incredible guy and obviously a great coach. And but yeah, it's really fun watching the Premier League and seeing how, you know, other leagues are going about their business, other coaches. So I really enjoy that part of my job.
I'm fascinated. I know you've talked in the past about like tiki-taka in soccer and how it kind of translates to basketball. What are the similarities between soccer and basketball, and what can coaches of those two sports learn from each other?
Well, I think there's a lot of the similar actions that exist within the games, kind of, you know, triangles, three players working together, you know, one guy passing to another, the third guy cutting. There's all kinds of that in both sports. I can't claim to be a soccer expert, but I enjoy watching. And I think that a lot of the players who I've either played with or coached who have a soccer background tend to see the floor better on the basketball court. And so I think there are a lot of connections for sure.
How often do you guys touch base, you and Coach Arteta? Is it just an off-season thing, or you know, you check in after games for him or games for you?
It's like about once a month we do these coaching Zooms. There's a group of coaches who, you know, we kind of we get together and talk about our teams and share best practices. It's obviously a private thing, but I was in London this past summer and had lunch with Mikel, and it was awesome to get to know him, you know, firsthand rather than just on Zoom. And my son Nick, who's on our staff, he came with me, and he's a huge Arsenal fan. He has been since he was a kid. My sister lives in England, and her three boys, Nick's cousins, are all Arsenal fans. So it transferred over to Nick, and he's loved Arsenal ever since. I like Liverpool because I'm a Mo Salah fan. I lived in Egypt for about 3 years when I was a kid, and I love the Egyptian culture, the Egyptian people. And when I first saw Mohamed Salah play soccer. I was like, that's my guy. That's an incredible player. And so I cheered for him, and by extension, I cheered for Liverpool.
Yeah, he's an amazing player. Congratulations on the Premier League title last year. I know it's been rough the last couple of weeks for Liverpool, but of course, a storied club. I'm curious about the way you felt your team responded on Saturday after a rough loss on Wednesday. You also lose Steph Curry. You eked that one out. You fought hard down the stretch. Jimmy Butler was great in that one. You got Jonathan Kuminga back. What did you see from your team on Saturday without Steph Curry?
Well, we gutted it out, and I think the main thing was we took care of the ball, and that is the number one indicator of whether we're going to win or not. And, you know, the season is always interesting. There's 82 games. It really is a marathon. I know that's a cliche, but it's the truth. And you go through these spells where you're either on top of the world or you're kind of down in the doldrums, and you have to navigate the season. And that includes plenty of stretches where you're kind of having to dig out a tough game. You know, even against a team with a bad record, none of these games are easy. You know, and the flip side is you have spells during the year where you feel like you can't lose, and the game comes a lot easier. But you have to handle both really well, and I thought we handled that part of it well the other night. You know, not in a great groove, not making shots, then, you know, get the job done, take care of the ball, and connect the game. And I thought we did a good job of that.
Yeah, it was definitely a gutted out kind of a victory where no shots were going in early, and you found a way to get some late, a couple of Kuminga threes as well. I do want to ask about Steph Curry and if you could offer any update on the quad and the reevaluation and just exactly what the next few days and weeks will be like for Steph Curry.
Well, I talked to him today. He was on the bike, so he was getting a good cardio workout. He's not on the court yet. We'll have an update on Thursday. So he won't play tomorrow, obviously, and you know, we'll just take it day by day. But I don't think any of us are too concerned that this is a long term thing. But we also don't have clarity on exactly when he's going to play.
So will he make the trip that starts Thursday in Philly, or is that still to be determined?
Still to be determined, and Rick Celebrini and Steph will put their heads together. And you know, we always look at our schedule while we're on the trip, you know, what it looks like in terms of practice time. Is it more productive for the player to, you know, to stay at home while the team's on the road because of the access to the gym and the training facility? And obviously all of that is dependent on how likely it is, you know, that you know, he could play or not on the trip. So all those things are to be determined.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Steve, from one Curry to another, I know that you guys announced today that you have signed Seth Curry for the rest of the season. I know he was with you guys in camp. You had to waive him because of second apron and salary cap gymnastics. I know there was a little bit of confusion from, I think, outside the team and the fan base on why the delay, because I think the money worked more towards the middle of November. It becomes official today. I was wondering if you could answer if that was just more salary cap gymnastics, and now that you have him officially, what does he bring to this team?
It was 100% salary cap gymnastics. You know, these aprons are really penalizing, and you know, by waiting until now, we're able to stay below the threshold, and it gives us more flexibility. And you know, those are Mike Dunleavy questions, but I know enough to know that you know, there was a reason we couldn't really do it until today. But we're thrilled to have him. Seth's been a really solid NBA player for a decade or more. One of the best shooters in the league, and doesn't turn it over, solid at both ends. So we're really excited to have Seth.
What's the ramp up going to be like to get him in there, and what do you foresee as his role in the rotation?
Well, we'll see. I mean, the ramp up, you know, he's a full go in practice and scrimmages, and he doesn't have any injuries. So, you know, I imagine he'll be active tomorrow night. That's the plan. And then we just have to wait and see. I mean, it's tough to, you know, to play more than 10 guys. And, You know, every game is a little different. And the way I approach it with all these guys, eventually they're all going to get their chance. And then who plays is really dependent on how well the team is doing. If we're doing well, we'll usually stick with something. If we're struggling, then we'll take a look at some other possibilities lineup-wise. So Seth understands that. He's been around forever, and I guarantee you he'll find his way out there at some point. But right away will be difficult just because we've got to kind of see where we are.
Steve, maybe one guy coming back that might make it more difficult for you to determine rotations and who plays is D'Anthony Melton. I know the team released an update for him on Saturday, and in that said that there's a possibility that he could make his debut at some point on your upcoming three-game road trip, which begins after this game tomorrow against OKC. Is there any further update there? Do you know if he might have Melton debut at some point on the trip?
I expect him to play on the trip at some point. He looks good. He's scrimmaged quite a bit. He got another one in today. I think he's going to get another one in tomorrow, and then he'll be on the trip with us. And at that point, it's day to day. But I'm really excited to get Mel back. You guys got a glimpse of him last year. I think he played 6 or 7 games with us. He was a perfect fit. And it's exciting to think about plugging him in, because he's another two-way player, another guy who can play at a high level in a playoff type game and survive quite well at both ends. So Melt's going to be a big help.
And based on that glimpse, and that's a great way to put it, because he was gone way too soon, who are some of the players combo-wise that you really enjoyed watching him play with? Obviously, he didn't play with Jimmy Butler, but beyond that, who does he really pop and play well with?
Everybody. and really that's one of the determining factors when you look for players is are they lineup dependent, or is the lineup just simply enhanced by their presence? And Melt is the latter. I mean, he plays well with everybody because he can dribble, pass, and shoot. He's fundamentally sound. He makes good decisions, and he's a really good on-ball defender. So all of those things lend to him being a good fit with anybody.
Steve, you also got a Jonathan Kuminga back after he missed 7 games. He played in that game on Saturday versus New Orleans. It seemed to me, just watching, didn't get his normal minutes, because I imagine there's a bit of a ramp up there. What did you see from him on Saturday? What do you need to continue to see? And what has your team missed from Kuminga during those 7 games? Because it felt like there were at least a handful of games in there where he might have been the difference between a win or a loss. So what do you see from him, and how is he coming along as he gets back into action?
He's a little rusty. I didn't think he was moving particularly well, but he hit 2 huge threes mid fourth quarter. We needed those shots. And so he came through for us. He was on a minutes restriction. So I think he played 18 or 19 minutes. The restriction will be lifted, as he goes. So as he continues to ramp up and build his conditioning, get his rhythm back, then there won't be any restrictions. I imagine that'll happen by the end of this trip. So it's all a matter of same things with Jonathan that we ask of him. He attack the rim, rebound, run the floor. When he does those things, he's really good for us.
How critical is it to get those restrictions lifted as you get set for 4 games in 6 nights and in 4 different cities? You've got me thinking cities now, Steve. So when I look at the schedule, I look at games and nights and cities, and you got another little mini baby gauntlet here.
Yeah, we do. And that's why it's great to get Seth and Melt back. Jimmy will most likely play tomorrow after the hard spill he took the other night. Obviously, with Steph out, we've got to get guys to fill in. But I feel good about our depth, and I feel good about our ability to find different combinations each night that can allow us to compete and win.
Steve, I know you said earlier that there's no one in that organization that is fearful that Steph's injury is one that's going to be serious or keep him out for maybe anything more than a handful of games. But I'm curious, when you are playing without him, and maybe even in games while he's just resting, do you feel like there is I don't know, a need to maybe shift a little bit away from the offense that has worked for so long with Steph while he's not on the floor, and lean into a little bit more isolation led by Jimmy Butler? Is that just a thing you go into while Steph is out and isn't playing in games, or can you do that also in games?
Well, it's kind of somewhere in between. You know, it's hard in the NBA to just suddenly say, well, we're going to play differently. You know, you develop an identity, you develop a style, and that style stays, you know, regardless of who's out on the floor. So we're a ball movement team. We're going to move the ball, but there's no question our play calls, you know, when we're not in flow, when we're just there's a dead ball, free throw, our play calls will reflect exactly, you know, what you just said, Grandy. We're gonna get the ball to Jimmy. We're gonna get isolated. We're gonna let him attack, and we'll get spaced. So, finding that balance, whether we have Steph or not, is really important. I thought it was what we did so well last year after getting Jimmy. We were able to play through both guys and lean into the flow and the movement of Steph, and then also the isolation ability of Jimmy. And when we find that balance and we take care of the ball, we're really good.
Is it also reflected in maybe a slower paced game without Steph, like going to more isolation? Does that become more of a conscious decision for you and the team to play a little bit more slowly?
I'm not sure if that is going to work, really, frankly. I think in some ways we have to play faster without Steph. We need to our young guys to really run the floor because if we're running and we're taking care of the ball, it's just easier to get good shots. It's really hard to get good shots in the NBA if you're walking the ball up the floor and playing against a set defense all the time. So I think that's a little bit of a misnomer. We want to play fast, but we want to hit singles and just make good decisions so that we're not making mistakes.
Could you make the games go by faster? And I'm thinking about tomorrow, Steve, 8 o'clock start, which, as you know, really means probably 8:08. What do you think of these games with, you know, poor Grandy in the post game not starting until midnight?
Yeah, I mean, it's not our favorite. It reminds me, you know, if you play in the finals and those games started, you know, 8:30 local time and in the East. So we've had some of these late starts, you know, in our playoff runs, but the 8 o'clock start at home, not ideal. You know, we do get some 8:30 starts when we're in the central time zone for, you know, TV purposes, but this is the first year we're getting the 8 o'clock starts on the West Coast. I think it's a direct result of the new TV deal. So, you know, you don't ask, you just go play when they tell you to get out there.
Steve, I don't know if this has been officially announced by the team just yet, but there is at least reports out there that you guys are planning to sign LJ Cryer to a two-way deal. He's been playing with the Santa Cruz Warriors down in the G League. So if you can't officially comment on him signing that two-way deal, at least what have you seen from LJ Cryer while he's been down in Santa Cruz, and what kind of player is he?
Yeah, he's a really talented player. You know, undrafted out of Houston, got a great college experience. A guy who's been well coached and with Kelvin Sampson at Houston, and you know, Final Four experience. Loved him in camp. He had some really good games for us, and he's tough. He's a competitor. So he's a guy we liked before the draft and after, and we're happy to have him in our program in Santa Cruz. And yeah, he's a guy we think very highly of.
Just one more on player personnel stuff. Al Horford, what's the situation with the sciatica, and are you expecting him to be available some here on this trip?
Yeah, we are expecting Al to be able to play on the trip. He'll be on the floor tomorrow. He's getting a workout in today. He'll be on the floor tomorrow, and our training staff will get a good look at him and get a feel. He won't play tomorrow night, but we'll get a good feel after these 2 days of workouts whether he'll be available on the trip or not.
Steve, big challenge tomorrow. The defending champs, OKC in town. I know you played them a couple of weeks ago in OKC. It was a game that you guys weren't really that competitive in. Since then, they've gotten Jalen Williams back, an all-star last year, probably the second-best player on that championship team. How big of a challenge is OKC? Do they remind you at all of your teams back in the day when you were rolling through the regular season? Just how good and how big of a challenge are they?
Well, they're on a 78-game win pace, so that's pretty good. I mean, it's crazy how good they've been at both ends of the floor, and they're very different stylistically than we were, in our heyday. They're a driving team. They're an attacking team. Not as much ball movement as we had in our our run, but. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jalen Williams, the ability to attack gaps and draw fouls and get to the rim, and then a suffocating defense. I mean, there's a reason they're the defending champs and they're 20-1, whatever. They're amazing, and we got a huge challenge ahead.
Yeah, no doubt. And speaking of challenge, you had me thinking about Saturday night, and Grandy and I were talking about it, where they review a play to see if it's a flagrant on you guys. And then upon further review, I'm sure you guys realized already it was a foul on them. So the review goes your way, and then you challenge. You and I, Steve, are kind of in lockstep on this whole cockamamie, let's review it system. But that had to feel pretty good, right? When you got to twirl the finger and the call actually went your way.
Yeah, it does feel good when you win those, but it doesn't feel great overall for the game to me. And I get it, with all the camera angles now, with the gambling, sponsorships, with all the gambling that goes on out there. The officials are under such a microscope. You want to get everything right. The problem is, this is not tennis. It's not like, well, the ball's either in or out. It's not baseball. You either beat the throw or not. Almost all these calls are really filled with gray area. And there's a handful like that one the other night that are they're obvious, and you're able to challenge and get it reversed, and it feels good. But to be perfectly honest, I would like to throw the entire replay system in the trash can.
Oh, me too. And it just had me thinking about whether or not you have like internal team fines for when a player twirls his finger. Do you have is that $100 or something? Please tell me it is, because and you don't have to call out the guys on your team, but the finger twirlers on your club, if I were you, and I wish I was, but I'm not, there would be a fine system in place for the twirl.
Yeah, there's definitely a difference between the composed player twirl and the emotional player twirl. And it's up to us to discern between the two, for sure. But there are times where I'll just challenge if I feel like it'll help the team emotionally. Not often, but sometimes you just do it just to support your player. We've had a couple of those this year. But, you got to be careful, because those are really valuable, down the stretch of games.
And when Draymond twirls, you got to challenge it, because he's such a savant, right, that he's probably correct more than he's incorrect, and you got to support him. You don't have to answer that.
Well, I know you said you weren't going to mention names, and then you mentioned Draymond's name.
I didn't want
name.
You to mention names, but because, I mean, when Draymond twirls, honestly, I think he probably has a case. But other players, when they twirl, I'm like, come on.
Yeah, the problem is you have to delineate Draymond's passion from his basketball IQ. Mm-hmm. And so they don't always match up. So I don't think his overall challenge record is great, to be honest. But that's okay. We love Dre. We win because of Dre. So if we challenge a few to help him out, I'm willing to do that.
Small price to pay, no doubt. Steve, we appreciate your time. Best of luck tomorrow versus OKC, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. Thanks, Steve. That's Warriors head coach Steve Kerr with us here on Willard and Dibs. No Willard, Grandy and Dibs with you. Largely good updates from Steve Kerr. And injury-wise, they don't expect the Steph Curry thing to be serious at all. Don't know exactly when he's going to be back, but does not seem to be more than a handful of games.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report,